We also will be participating in the Lord's Supper at the end of the service here. If you're new, you can participate. We don't have any rules. The only rule we have is take the bread and take the juice and share with us. We want to do a community thing of worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. We gather here each year, and I think about this because it's interesting as a pastor. Each year we talk about the resurrection, and each year I have to figure out a way to talk about this that's new and unique, or at least that's my personality, okay? And so we are here to worship the fact that Jesus Christ came and died, and then on Sunday he rose again. And last night it was a little hard because I was thinking, wait a minute, he's still in the grave, you know, but we pretended. But today we don't have to pretend because he is risen from the dead, and he rose from the dead over 2,000 years ago, praise the Lord. And so turn to Matthew 27, verse 2. If you have your Bibles, we'll have it up so that you can read it. There we go. And I want to talk about one of the apostles that was very connected to Jesus. He had 12, but he never, never experienced forgiveness and the beauty of what that would be like to have been found in the forgiveness of Christ, his death and resurrection. So I'm just going to read this today rather than us trying to switch back and forth. And when they had bound him, Jesus, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Isn't that a good subject for this morning? Now, each year since 1970, Madame Tussauds Wax Museum, which there's many locations, New York and L.A. and London, and when you go to visit that, they will ask you a question, and that question is, and they've interviewed thousands of international visitors, national visitors, and they ask, what is the one person, past or present, real or fiction, that they hate and fear the most? And the first on the list, of course, is Adolf Hitler. And he was a scary guy, wasn't he? Even though we aren't personally connected to that, it was a generation's past. He was a very scary guy, and he was a murderer. He murdered like 6 million Jews, 4 million Christians, or 3 million. He was just insane. Then we have Saddam insane, okay? Hussein was in ours. And then in the foreign lands, a lot of American presidents are named, okay, as evil and scary. But as far as I can tell, looking through the list, I never found Judas Iscariot on that list. And I mean, think about it for a minute. This is a man who betrayed Jesus Christ, and his name is synonymous with betrayal, right? In fact, how many of you have ever felt betrayed by somebody? They say something, and it was a secret, and they put it out there, and you might kiddingly say to them, oh, thanks, Judas, right? And then everybody kind of laughs, but everybody knows what that means. I don't care if you're a Christian or non-Christian. You somehow know what Judas means. And it certainly isn't an honored name. In fact, I was thinking about it, and I thought, how many times have you seen a church with St. Judas on it? Right? Or how many times have you seen baby names where one of the top names is Judas? We just don't name our kids that. And you might remember that even Jesus Christ's brother, it was really a stepbrother, but his brother was named Judas. And so we get all the way to the second to the last letter in the Bible, and what's the name of that book? Jude. Yeah, they changed his name over to Jude. Now, that may be what Jesus called him. Hey, Jude, come here. You know, he was the oldest, you know. And so that stuck because he certainly didn't want Judas on there. So the real question this morning is, who was Judas Iscariot? And we really don't know a lot about him. The Bible tells us a little bit. First of all, we know that his father was Simon and that his surname was Iscariot. And yes, this sermon will pull together. Okay, I can see a lot of the looks on your face like, what are you preaching about Judas Iscariot for when it's Christ is risen? I'll get there. Okay? All right. We knew his father was Simon and that his surname was Iscariot, and that's probably because in the Hebrew there's Iscariot, and when you translate it, it means man of Cariot, and Cariot was a city in southern Israel. And from the scriptures, we discover that he was appointed treasurer to the 12 disciples and that he was a thief stealing from that treasury. And so I look at it and I think, what would compel this man, Judas, to sentence a close friend like Jesus that he was with for 3.5 years to one of the most horrible, horrible imaginable deaths? Now, as I read and studied, I found that there was basically 6 concepts about Judas and why he did this. The first one is, being from Kerioth, the southern part of Israel, Judas would have been the only non-Galilean in the group, and maybe he got bitter, maybe he was odd man out. It's like the other 11 would talk, and they would talk in their Judean or their Galilean dialect, and then that southerner, you know, same as the United States, isn't it? No, my dad was a southerner, and so that was one of the thoughts, that he might be odd man out. The number two is, it may be that Judas turned Jesus over to save his own skin because of the enormity of what was happening. He got scared and he turned him over. The third put forth was this, that plain and simple, he did it out of greed. He did it for the money. He probably would have denied that, but you know, when somebody says, hey, listen, I am not doing this for the money, they're doing it for the what? Money. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to say that, right? Okay? And so 30 pieces of silver in today's would be about $12,000. Okay? And so it was not bad for an evening work, right? One little kiss and 12,000 bucks, just like that. That was another theory. The fourth, it could have been that he came to hate Christ because he couldn't hide his inner self from and his deceitfulness from Christ. Man, you can hide from a lot of people, but it would have been tough. Wouldn't it be to be friends with Jesus Christ? He just, boom, out it comes. And it's like, what? How did you know? And so we look at it and we think, well, wait a minute. Jesus saw through him. The other people thought he was a nice guy and that kind of thing, but Jesus saw through him. That could be. The fifth one is, it might be that Judas's last name wasn't a derivative of the Hebrew, but it's much like a Greek word that means dagger bearer. Dagger bearer. And it was a band of violent nationalists who were prepared to use every means possible, including assassination, to free Palestine from Roman rule. And perhaps Judas had set his hopes on Messiah, that he would deliver the people from his oppressors, and then he was bitterly disappointed and betrayed him. Number six, maybe a little more likely, Judas never intended for Jesus to die that day, and it seemed like it when he threw the silver on the ground. Instead, he hoped to force Jesus' hand, and when he saw that Jesus wasn't going to stand up and be this conqueror, then he realized what a tragedy and what a hassle he went through with all this, and his plan totally failed. But the question we need to ask ourselves on this Easter Sunday morning of 2014 is this. When Judas hung himself on that day, what did Judas miss? Right? I mean, think about it with me. I want to read Matthew 27, 5 again. Then Judas threw the money on the floor of the temple and went out and hanged himself. Now, when we read that and we read that Judas hung himself and he died, Jesus wasn't even sentenced yet. Do you realize that? He'd been delivered up, but he hadn't been sentenced yet. Before Pilate finished asking his questions, Judas was dead. Before Jesus was scourged with the whip, Judas was dead. Before the crown of thorns were pushed on Jesus' head, Judas was dead. Before they nailed Jesus to the cross, Judas was dead. But the real tragedy of this is when Jesus looked down from the cross and he saw those who mocked him, he saw those who spit on him, he saw all those who struck him in the head, and those who jammed those thorns into his head, and they are some pretty ugly thorns. I'm telling you, I've been there, I've seen them. The tragedy is when all those people who did that didn't seem as bad as Judas. Judas looked down and he said this, "Father, forgive these people because they don't know what they're doing." Father, forgive them. Man, Judas was already dead by his own hand. And so the first and most important thing that Judas missed was the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Now, you may be one of those who believe that what Judas did was heinous or so horrible that Judas could never be forgiven. But listen, this is what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "But the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Did you catch that? Anyone and everyone. The Lord is not waiting for anyone to perish. Or we go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, when Paul says this, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all." Now, for you who were last year, you want me to go through that all again? Okay. "Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Even old Judas. Just as it was Judas's decision to betray Christ, so it was Judas's choice to die unrepentant and to go to hell. You know, the sad part of the story is that Judas came so close to being forgiven, but he never got there. Matthew 27:4 says this when Judas says, "I have sinned, for I have betrayed an innocent man." And there was an acknowledgement of sin. But in verse 3 of that same chapter, the verse before says, "And when Judas, who betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse, so he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the priests." Now, most of us in our life, if you're honest, have felt a little sorrow and remorse in your life. Am I the only one? Okay. And you've done some particular wrong in your life at one time or another, and usually when you get caught, you feel that sense of shame, or you feel that sense of being rejected. And yet, even with all that, Judas still couldn't bring himself to ask for forgiveness. And there are people today sitting in church this morning all over this metro area, And maybe even you're sitting here this morning who know the truth of Romans 3:23, which says, for all have sinned and fall short of God's standard. They know that, and they're remorseful, and they even feel badly about it, about their shortcomings, but for some reason, they just can't bring themselves to seek forgiveness from Christ. Now, I don't know what holds people back. I know what held me back. Stubbornness. I got that freely inherited, by the way. Okay. Stubbornness. I knew I was doing wrong before I came to Christ. I knew that my life wasn't going in the right direction, but I was not going to give up because somewhere it would turn out okay. Right? Stubbornness. What's yours? What was yours before you came to Christ? Because it isn't that we don't know sin. But you know, it's a dangerous game that we play. Because you don't have to hang yourself to miss the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. 3 days after Jesus and Judas died, Jesus rose again, but Judas was still dead. And as Christ appeared to the disciples after the resurrection, he made a statement that would never apply to Judas in John 20, verse 19. And if the worship team will return to the stage, let me just read this verse in John 20, 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And so the second thing that Judas missed, the first was forgiveness, the second was peace. He seemed to have lived without it, and now it would appear he died without it. And listen, people, when most of us talk about peace and you hear the world talk about peace, and they'll say, well, you Christians say you have peace, but I do too. You know what they're talking about? Circumstances. And circumstances change, don't they? And sometimes we have peace with our circumstances, and sometimes we don't. And when the person who rejects Jesus Christ says, I'm at peace, if you follow them around, you're going to find they don't always have peace, right? Because the peace that Jesus gives is a different peace. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, folks, that's the real deal. The real deal is we have peace with God. Circumstances are always going to be disruptive, but we have peace with God. And when we are forgiven through the grace of God, then our relationship with God is restored and we have peace with God. Judas never felt that peace. And within 10 days of that promise, there was a power that Jesus Christ promised the disciples, and that was the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, would come. And that was a power unparalleled up to that time when he gave them, the disciples, the Holy Spirit, and he's given us the Holy Spirit. And that power has been given to us who believes, the Scripture says. And so I want to read this verse, and it'll sound funny because I'm not talking about the Spirit here. I'm talking about the results of the power of the Spirit in us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Without the Holy Spirit working with us, we could never be that new creation, could we? Never. That's power that changes lives. And Judas missed that too. So today as we celebrate and as we look at the forgiveness of Christ, we look at the peace of Christ, and we look at the Comforter that he sent for us, We're going to sing a song, and as we sing a song and as they pass out the bread and the juice, I want you to think about those three things: the forgiveness, the peace, and the power in the Christian life. And let's worship the Lord. Let's thank Him for what He gave us through the cross, through His death, and through His resurrection. When we stop to think about Christ, when it says the eagle wings in Isaiah, it's right at that place where it talks about Christ. And you know, the problem that the Jewish people had is Christ was described as this humble person that was going to be beat, but He also was this Savior and this Messiah that was going to rid of all enemies. And it didn't split that up until Jesus Christ came. And when He came as the humble, but He didn't come as the conqueror. And it messed the people up, and they didn't get it. And even His disciples, Jesus told them on the way to Jerusalem, He stopped them and said, "Look, they're going to beat me and kill me, and I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again in 3 days." And they're like, "What? That didn't match anything that Isaiah said. That didn't match anything that the Old Testament had said." And then He gets into the upper room, and He knows this is going to happen, and He takes the bread at the beginning of Passover, and He says, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me, and let's celebrate Christ together." And then after the Passover supper, He took the cup of redemption, and He said, "This represents My blood. When you drink this, do this in remembrance of Me." And let's remember Christ this morning. Jesus went out to Gethsemane and prayed. Judas came and kissed Him, and they hauled Jesus off. They beat Him. They nailed Him to a cross. And within a 3-hour period, our Christ was dead. And there's a lot of people's hearts that sunk because the conqueror had come and been killed. And He laid in the grave for 3 days. And I've talked about the tradition that the Jewish people had back then, because they didn't have the medical technology that we had. And so what they did is they had, when they sat at the tomb, and He was in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, which he was a rich man. And so with the rich people, they have that round rock. It's not as big as you think. Okay, and a little hole where they can enter in, but they carve out seats in the limestone, and they all sit there, and they don't say a word. And then at one point on the first day, they yell out, "Jesus!" And they wait for an answer. And if there's no answer, then they come back the next day, and they sit around, and they don't say a word. And finally, the chosen person goes, "Jesus!" And then on the third day, the Marys came down, and they were ready to go through the same ceremony, be able to yell out, "Jesus!" And on the third day, that made a legal death, because they knew after 3 days He was really dead. And then they could open up the rock, and they'd go in, and they'd spice up the body, and then they'd close that off. And they came down there, ready to yell Jesus for the third time, but Jesus was alive. They didn't get to call His name out the third time, because He was up and He was going. And He met the disciples in the room, and you remember Doubting Thomas, another hard name, huh? Sticking his hands in his side and in his and sticking his hand in his hands to feel those wounds, to make sure it was really Jesus, because He looked pretty good, because He rose again. And you know what's really exciting about that, folks? We're going to rise again. Do you get it? We are going to rise again, we who know Jesus Christ. We have to put our faith in Him. We have to put our trust in Him. And you know, the Bible, when I read that, the Bible said that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you agree? Yeah, we've all sinned. And the wages of that sin is death, the Bible says it, that we're hell-bound. But it doesn't stop there. There's a comment that says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's bow our heads for a second. And if you're here this morning, you've come looking for that relationship with God. You want a relationship with Jesus Christ because his blood was shed for the removal of sin. I'm going to pray a prayer, and you just pray that prayer along with me. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life. God, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, like that verse said, and he rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today, and may I live for you. Where our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, will you raise your hand up, put it back down, let God know you meant business. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you for those hands. What a great thing when you ask Christ to come into your life, because your life is going to change. I know for me, it changed drastically. I almost didn't want it to change, but I couldn't help it. Because we have the Comforter, we have the Holy Spirit who has come and going to work in our lives. And listen, for you who raised your hands, maybe you didn't raise your hands, you're too scared to. On that bulletin flap, there's a thing called My Decision, and I talked about it earlier. You can fill that out, and we can get a hold of you. We can give you a Bible, whatever you need to start that relationship. Father, we come this morning thanking you that we know without a shadow of a doubt that you rose from the dead. 500 people saw you at one time risen from the dead. And Lord, we know because of that we also will raise from the dead. And Lord, you know, as much as we're in love with this futile earth, we can't wait till that day where all the futility dries up and we have richness in Christ. In an unbelievable way. Lord, our first breath in heaven is going to be incredible. And Lord, we know that when we see you, you will still have those scars in your hands and your side. And we will know that you died for our sin because we will be with you. And Lord, we can't thank you enough for that. And may your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.